Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast for people who want to learn about transit and transportation, whether you're a full-on transit geek or stuck in your car on I-40. I'm Jennifer. Today on the show, we're talking about the lovely intersection of Wake Forest Road and I-440, often better known as the Beltline. Many Raleigh residents and workers are familiar with this one, and some of you might even be rolling your eyes as you think about it. This is the intersection near Trader Joe's where the Wegmans is going in. Other than that, it's some hotels and apartments and Denny's, but there is a lot of traffic through there, and that's why the NCOD wants to make some changes, including what's known as a diverging diamond.
So we're joined by Sean Williams, spokesperson for the NCDOT, to talk about this project. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So can you first talk to us about this section of Wake Forest Road and why it needs these changes?
Yeah, so this section of Wake Forest Road, as it intersects with I-440, there's a lot of traffic congestion there, delays at the interchange, and a lot more development is anticipated. I mean, everybody knows Raleigh is really going, becoming a popular destination for folks, and folks already here, their families are growing, so it's a great place to be. So this area of Raleigh is definitely experiencing rapid growth, and traffic projections indicate increased delay at this interchange in the future if no improvements are made.
Okay. So speaking of the projections, how many cars a day are we talking right now through that area?
So right now, those numbers, I think, it's at 66,000 vehicles per day, at least north of the interchange, and then I think it's about 38,000 south of the interchange. And then for 2040, those numbers, I think, are around 75,000
per day.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does, we hear these DOT projections all the time, but where do you guys come up with these numbers?
So it's actually kind of a complex mix of all these predictive models that are out there. But pretty much like traffic projections for 2040 are from the Triangle Regional Travel Demand Model. And so what that is kind of it's a coordination with the City of Raleigh, Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, or CAMPO, and NCDOT. And they take into account all future land use and kind of development and have a kind of a black box predictive model. And I think a lot of the smarter math-minded folks have got something figured out there for that.
Okay. So as people have reported, the DOT wants to build a diverging diamond for that space. Mm-hmm. And this might be something people in the Triangle aren't familiar with. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so the diverging diamond interchange, it's also known as a double crossover diamond. And it's an alternative to the conventional diamond interchange or another alternate interchange forms. And I guess the primary difference between a DDI and the conventional diamond is that the two directions of travel cross each other to flow on opposite sides of the road. So by shifting cross-street traffic to the left side, so normally we're on the right side, but as we approach the interchange, we'll jump to the left side after a signalized crossover. This allows vehicles then to make a free-flowing left turn onto the highway, so I-440 for this instance.
Okay. And for our listeners, I'll link to some images and a map so that you can see what this looks like, because obviously that's hard to explain on a podcast. So are there some examples locally where these are already located in case someone may be like, oh, that's what that is. I've driven it. And is there one already in place? And then I understand there might be one going in on Western. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's definitely the plans and they're in design concept stages for the one in Western. But there are actually a handful of them in Carolina.
Okay.
And DOT is definitely thinking about, where is the best fit to put more in there. But, folks can look to I-73 at Westgate City Boulevard in Greensboro. That's one there. And if they're out in the Charlotte area, there's one at I-85 and NC-73. And so there's a couple of handfuls, and those are just two examples, but there are others out there. And they can actually, there's a website called divergingdiamond.com that actually has, maps of DDIs that are planned, under construction, or already built in the whole of the U.S.
I'll have to check that out. Is this somebody's like geek project? Kind of like
So. Yeah, they have kind of a passion for DDIs.
<Okay. Yeah. laughs> Awesome. So why does a diverging diamond, why is that the choice right here at Wake Forest Road, what we're talking about?
So what's cool about a diverging diamond It offers the additional capacity for volume in a very tight footprint to reduce right-of-way impacts. So the current interchange is right now at Wake Forest and I-440 is a compressed diamond. So there's really no room for loops in the quadrants, kind of like you see with a normal interchange. Plus, there's all those businesses already there. So the DDI allows to accommodate the increase in volume, but not take up so much room.
Okay. So were there other configurations considered? Was there anything else that would work?
So for this particular study, DOT, we didn't look at any other build alternatives because of the limited right-of-way and potential impacts of the surrounding property. So we didn't want to, we wanted to keep that impact down to as small as we could, like we do in all projects.
Okay. So how many lanes of car travel are there going to be? And is that more or less than what we've got now?
So we're planning to have three through lanes in each direction and then two left turn lanes at the intersections. So that'll keep the same number
it's
of travel
lanes. The same as what's current.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, this is Wake Forest Road right there by the Bell Line. So.
Yes.
Okay. So safety is one of the benefits as I'm reading about diverging diamonds. Talk to us about how it's safe.
Yeah. So the biggest thing, one of the kind of the big cool highlights of this kind of interchange is that it reduces the conflict points compared to traditional diamond interchange and other configurations. So that's all if, you know, a lot of folks obviously probably know this, but if vehicles are trying to turn left with oncoming traffic, that's considered a conflict point. So with the diverging diamond interchange, left turns onto and off the ramps are free flowing. And then also there's, you know, it's two-phase traffic signals reduce the lost time at the interchange. So as opposed to a four-phase that takes up a lot of time and it's kind of a lot of complex movement. So this definitely simplifies all the things going on there. And to add on to it too, this also reduces conflict points between vehicles and pedestrians for most of the crossing movements.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to pedestrians in just
yeah.
a second. So cost is supposed to be another benefit. Mm-hmm. What's the projected cost for this project?
So right now it's at $24 million, and that includes construction costs, utility relocation, so those are like power, telephone poles, things like that, and the right-of-way costs. I guess right now the DOT is definitely still, as the final plans are kind of being molded together, they're working on reducing that right-of-way footprint and impacts. And as they move further into the final design, they'll continue to coordinate with all the property owners that could potentially be affected.
Okay. Is that why it's cheaper, because you're taking up less space and need less property right away, or are there other reasons this construction of this is just cheaper?
Yeah, it's that definitely is a big part of it. So you reduce all those right of ways, but it's cheaper than in this instance, especially because we are taking up less. If we were to have to do the normal four quadrant loop, that would take up a huge amount of space in that area, and there's a lot of growing and thriving businesses there that we wouldn't want to affect that negatively that way.
Okay. So you mentioned pedestrians. Can we talk about how this plan is going to accommodate them? Where are they traveling
yeah.
on this road? Because it's not a real pedestrian-friendly space right now, but
yep.
there are people who need to walk in that area.
Definitely. So for this particular DDI, they're going to have pedestrian signals to protect the movements, and they're going to coordinate with them with the vehicle signals. So often like normal interchanges, but the interesting part about this particular one is a lot of DDIs will have the pedestrian walkways go through the middle of all the travel lanes. So they'll actually cross over and travel between the north and south, east and west movements. And so it kind of feels like the person, traveler may feel boxed in because they, have traffic going this, on their left and right. But
yeah.
for this particular one, because there's actually piers in the middle of the roadway on Wake Forest, they're going to keep the pedestrian walkways to the outside of Wake Forest for the folks to walk on those out there. And they'll have refuge islands along the way, which will have those pedestrian signals that will be coordinated with the vehicular signals.
Okay, because some of the information I found, I thought it sounded like they were going to have to cross eight or nine lanes of traffic and not have a refuge.
So the refuge islands are playing. Sorry, couldn't get that out. In addition to the signals, and they're not planning to have 8 or 9 lanes of traffic. So there's this the diagram. I guess it, you know, it's hard to explain again on a podcast, but it'd be available on the DOT's website. But the PED signals aren't shown on the diagram, but it'll be placed on the maps. And just one thing, you know, vehicles won't stop on the on-ramps again, but the PEG signals will be coordinated with the vehicular signals.
Okay. So does the DOT have evidence that this is safer for pedestrians as well? So we're on sidewalks on both mm-hmm. sides. I'm trying to picture this as we're talking.
Yeah. And so I guess the best source of evidence too that anybody can look at would be the Federal Highway Administration. They put out a manual that highlights the particularly one just the potential points of conflict. So it's just reducing those amount of conflicts between the vehicles and the pedestrians. And that, you know, could give you that manual later on too.
I'm sure it's online. Yeah. So we talked about pedestrians. What about bicycles? Again, you don't see a lot there now, but as Raleigh is moving forward, I think that's something we want to include a lot more. How are bicycles getting through this area?
Totally. Yeah. And the DOT loves doing all the bike ped stuff too, to adding to those all their plans. So in particular, this project at the public meeting, the map that we had on display didn't include a separate bike path, but they are, but the engineers are working with the city of Raleigh right now to actually allow room for this path. So I guess that's kind of like an ongoing working with the city to figure out the whole ped bike multimodal path, sidewalk widths, different specs like that before they put in the final plans, but they're working with the city to throw them in.
Oh, okay. So when will the final plans be ready?
Those will be ready later in the year. I know that right-of-way acquisition scheduled for fall 2019, and then construction actually doesn't start until 2020. So those will be out there closer to that right-of-way time.
Okay. And so the bike path you're talking about, is that we're talking about like a protected bike lane or just...
Right now, I don't know kind of what the engineers, both with DOT and with Raleigh, have figured out for that. But I mean, I guess I would assume all options are on the table right now for those kind of paths.
Okay. And I mentioned a minute ago, we're seeing an increased demand for walkability, bikeability. You know, this section of road is on a future transit line, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of focus now too on transit. So this feels to a lot of people really incompatible. Like you're widening the road and making sure it's more travel friendly for cars. It's like, oh, we need to widen the road. You're talking about increasing car volumes. So how is this compatible with the idea that we need to maybe decrease car volumes and focus more on transit?
Yeah. So there will all be, we actually have planned that the public transit won't change at all. So right now, no changes are proposed to the existing bus stops and other travel services, transit services, excuse me, at a part of this project. So actually working with the contractor and Go Raleigh to make sure access to the transit is maintained through that area, even during construction and after.
Okay. So you talked about this is going to improve the flow through there. Mm-hmm. What about past that interchange? Is it going to cause any problems down the road?
Yeah, so that Wake Forest definitely has challenges, but the proposed changes here aren't designed, I guess, to solve all the traffic problems down Wake Forest. For the main focus of this project is actually to improve the interchange and make sure that I-440, isn't negatively impacted. So improvements north and south of the project on Wake Forest Road will still be need to be considered for future growth and future development and change and improvements there.
Okay, because past that, it's still, is it 3 lanes on a side? They get skinny there for a second, don't they?
Yeah, and there are some changes. I guess they're going to resurface the road a little bit further north add even, is it St. Albans or what's the road that's just a little bit further down?
I think you're right.
I wish...
I don't have a map in front of me.
So St. Albans Drive. So they're gonna anticipate likely upgrades there. So that's about as far as the as this project's going to go in mm-hmm. terms of resurfacing. So they're looking at throwing in a dual left turn lane from northbound Wake Forest onto St. Albans Drive. And until they, decided to fix that, St. Albans are going to have one of those lanes striped out with paint until a receiving lane on St. Albans is ready to go. So I guess they are thinking about that and trying to make this interchange the kind of first piece to make the rest of the puzzle fit together.
Okay. So, and this kind of touches on before, can you talk about induced demand? So we're going to make it wider, and then it's going to make it easier for cars, which may mean more cars take that road. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we're going to run out of room. Like,
yeah. We
can't go any wider. So then what? Can you talk about why this is necessary?
Yeah, so this project isn't anticipated to induce growth, but it's more of a response to the demand that's already there. So Wake Forest will have the same number of travel lanes after construction, just kind of in the different configuration. But the DOT is proposing to construct 10-foot lanes immediately north and south of the interchange and the standard curb and gutter. So the city of Raleigh has requested a wider sidewalk than there is today. So NCDOT and the city are coordinating for those bike peg accommodations as well.
Okay. And I'm a little late to the game on this. The public hearing for this was in May. Mm-hmm. So what's the next steps? You kind of talked a little bit about that a minute ago, but go ahead.
Okay. So it's pretty simple from here, but the federal environmental document is anticipated to be approved this summer.
Okay.
And then NCDOT is in the process, like I said before, preparing the final design plans. And once that's done, then they'll move to the minor changes to public meeting map. So they'll make those as well. And folks will be able to see that online. Those changes will be made available. And then right-of-way acquisition is scheduled for fall 2019. And then construction in 2020. So that's kind of the plan for it as right now.
Okay. Starts in 2020 and then when's it end?
That's still open. I don't have the close date for that.
That's fine. So are you still accepting public comments? Or you said when the maps come out, there's going to be another round of meetings to look at those?
Yeah. So NCD always welcomes comments, both positive and negative, however folks think, and questions too that they have on the projects. So for this particular project, folks can actually contact the NCDOT project manager, Ahmad Al-Shawarne, and you can find his contact info on the contact directory part of the DOT's website. And he's happy to answer any question that folks have about the project and even, you know, what's up in terms of things coming up, how's it progressing, things like that.
Okay. Anything else I didn't ask that you wanted to add?
No. Yeah, I'm just, I hope folks are excited about this project. Obviously, there may be some hassles with construction as it goes on, but we're going to work to make that as easy as possible for folks. And this will end up being, I think, a great piece to that part of Raleigh. And looking forward to kind of getting Raleigh ready for all that is, I guess, potentially on the horizon. And this will be an exciting time for the city and I guess, for the state as a whole.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's our show for today. We want to hear what you think about diverging diamonds or this intersection in general, so share your experiences or concerns with us via email at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at inboundraleigh. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.